And thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Chapter 27, I read through Genesis chapter 27. I was sitting there thinking, well, this is a good chapter. It's got a lot of important stuff. It just doesn't make a good outline, you know. Isaac wants to bless Esau. Esau goes, gets a deer. Jacob deceives Isaac. Esau gets mad. Isaac gets fooled. Esau gets angry again. Jacob leaves. The end. That's hard to literize. And I like to literize. As this morning, you could tell that I like to put my sermons in some kind of order. But you know, I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, there's some truths that everybody... And then I grabbed a commentary that of someone I really enjoy reading. And when I started reading it, I mean, it just opened up a whole new world to me about this chapter. And something that I had never seen before. I kind of always blamed Rebecca for all of this. And Jacob. Felt like Esau was taken advantage of, and poor old Isaac. But I'm going to give you a different viewpoint tonight. Something that God revealed to me, and I'm excited to share it with you. So you buckle up, hold on. Here we go. Let's read Genesis chapter 27 as we like to do. And you pay attention. I'll read it. I'll read it quickly if you listen quickly. Here we go. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son. And said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here I am, or here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the days of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, the weapons, that thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field. Take me some venison, to make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon the hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of Jacob. And he came to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may fill thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. He said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessings. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The day of mourning for my father's at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. And to thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done unto him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Father, I do pray that you'll help me today. Give me wisdom, clarity of thought and speech. Thank you for the truths that we'll find and see in this passage of Scripture. We kneel before you knowing that you're the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Father, there's nothing that I can bring to the table here. It's just you, and I pray that I'll be the vessel that you would want me to be. Make us a blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, when I looked at this passage of Scripture, like I told you before, I had seen a lot of different things, but I had never seen what I'm about to reveal to you this evening. I see three sins. As a matter of fact, this chapter is a chapter that God allows us to look at. It's a day in a life of these patriarchs. It's a day, one day in a life that all involved wishes they could go back and fix. The problem is you can't go back in time and fix yesterday. You can't even fix the rest of today. But there is tomorrow. But this is a tragic chapter. This is a chapter full of sin. Very little good can come out of this chapter. The first sin that I want you to notice is I want you to see the sin of the father, the sin of Isaac. Isaac was a great man. Think about his devotion to the Lord. His father, Abraham, was fixing to sacrifice him on an altar. Isaac didn't run. Isaac didn't rebuke. He simply trusted God, and he simply trusted his father. What a man of character. But somewhere along the way, we see that something's changed in the life of Isaac. he wasn't who he used to be. That gives me great pause to reflect that just because I used to be something or I used to do something doesn't mean I always will. Just because I used to be a certain way that's godly doesn't mean I always will be. Age does not necessarily define godliness. Your vocation does not necessarily define godliness. Just because I'm a pastor at the age of 43 does not mean by the age of 83 I'll still be godly. Now, I hope that by the age of 83 I'll still be godly, and that's going to be a day-by-day, everyday kind of a thing. You do right today, you do right tomorrow, and you do right every day that you wake up. When you're 83, you're going to be in the right place. But doesn't mean that once you were great, you always will be great. There was a time in Isaac's life where Isaac put his faith and trust in God and his father Abraham. He was there when Abraham looked at his son, probably 13 years of age, and said, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice," not only to be followed up very quickly by Abraham tying the hands of Isaac. Can you imagine Isaac for a second? "Dad, what are you doing with the rope? Why are you tying my hands? Why are you tying my legs? Why are you laying me on this altar? What are you doing with that knife?" I mean, this really happened. Isaac was a lot younger than his father Abraham. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. If that's the case, Abraham was 113 at the time that he was fixing to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac could have outran his daddy, most likely. Isaac might have been strong enough to take his dad. But none of that took place. From everything that I see in Scripture, Isaac never fought. Isaac never rebuked. Isaac simply trusted. I don't know that I would have trusted like Isaac. Isaac finds a wife, Rebekah, and Isaac serving the Lord and doing everything right. Somewhere along the way, and I believe it happened 77 years earlier than this day that we're talking about. Somewhere along the way, Isaac and Rebekah messed up. Somewhere along the way, Isaac and Rebekah lost the focus that they were supposed to have. I want you to see the sin of the father. Isaac took matters into his own hands. God did not tell Isaac to bless his son. No. Isaac, like many of us, started to think about his mortality. Many scholars believe that Isaac was 137 at this time. I also believe that. Taking the age of Jacob when he died, which was 147, subtracting it by 17, which is how many years he lived in Egypt after he found Joseph, taking away 10 years from the time that Abraham died, 10 years before Jacob ever was sold into slavery, or Joseph was ever sold into slavery, taking the 14 years that Jacob worked for his two wives, and if you do all the mathematical numbers, and yes, I'm a nerd, and yes, I love math, if you take all of those numbers, you will find that Jacob, at this particular time in history, is roughly 77 years of age, which makes Isaac 137. I always thought that they were teenagers, but they weren't. Why is that important? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you'll take your Bibles and you'll look back to Genesis chapter 25, verse 17, you're going to find something so ironic and so neat that you're going to start putting things together probably all by yourself. Look at Genesis chapter 25, verse number 17. Are you there? Here's what the Bible says. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael. 137. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. 137 years of age, That's how old Ishmael was when Ishmael died. You know, as well as I know, it's a human nature to compare your age and your longevity to that of your parents or siblings. For example, I think about it. My grandpa died at the age of 65. My father died at the age of 62. You don't think that that crosses my mind? We look at somebody that's had longevity of life. You see sisters and brothers that live to be in their 90s. You're like, man, you got good genes. Your kids got good genes. We compare longevity to that of our siblings, to that of our parents. Isaac's no different. Isaac started to think about his mortality. Isaac's 137 years of age. That's when his brother died. Isaac's blind. He even tells us in the scriptures, he says, Esau, go get venison. I'm old. I do not know how many more years that I have left. I need to bless you. Isaac took matters into his own hands. The sin of Isaac here is that he took matters into his own hands. Isaac's thinking, I might die. My brother died at the age of 137. I might die at the age of 137. I am 137. I wonder how many more years I have. I mean, I can't see. There's no place here in Scripture where it says that Isaac sought the Lord. There's no place in Scripture where it says Isaac besought God to find out if he should be the one to give Esau the blessing. So I want you to see the sin of Isaac. Number one, he takes matters into his own hands. Number two, he goes against the direct will of God. Seventy-seven years earlier to this day, God had already told Rebekah that the younger would rule the older. Remember, Rebekah was pregnant. She has twins. First time that I ever find twins mentioned in Scripture. And they are struggling with inside the womb. And she beseeches God and says, God, what's going on? And he says, there's two nations that are in your womb, and the younger shall rule the elder. Remember that story? And Esau comes out, and Jacob has a hold of his hand, or his heel. And they struggle and fight the whole time. And then we find that Isaac and Rebekah decide that they're going to play favoritisms. Isaac chooses Esau. Rebekah chooses Jacob. And Isaac now, at 77 years later, goes against the direct will of God. If Rebekah knew that the younger was going to rule the older, and God said the younger will rule the older, and that God had already made that declaration, certainly Isaac knew that. But he had strong feelings towards his son Esau. He liked Esau. Esau was his boy. When Isaac would go out hunting, there'd be Esau. Jacob, same age as Esau, would be at home with mom. Jacob was a mama's boy. But Esau was a hunter. Isaac would go hunting, Esau would be right there. Isaac would dig ditches, Esau would be there with his little shovel digging ditches with dad. Jacob would be inside doing dishes with dad, with mom. Esau was his buddy. He's 137 years of age. He says, I'm going to bless my son. I'm going to bless Esau. Esau, go get venison. I see the sin of the father. All of this, this whole chapter starts with the dad. This whole chapter, I place all solely on the shoulders of Isaac. Isaac took matters into his own hands. Have you ever taken matters into your own hands? Isaac decided that he was going to go against the direct declaration of God. Have you ever gone against the direct declaration of God? If this is true in your life, then that day is going to be very bad. So I see the sin of the father. I also see the sin of the mother. The sin of the mother. She didn't trust God to be able to take care of the one God already said would get the blessing. She again, seeking to please Jacob because she loved Jacob and choosing Jacob over her other son Esau, she was not trusting the Lord. God had told her. Listen, when God makes a declaration of something that's going to happen, listen, it's going to happen. God can step in and intervene anytime He sees it's necessary. You and I are not the ones to step in and intervene. God can handle the problems. But Jacob, or Esau, or Isaac, and Rebekah, they decided that they're going to intervene. And so Rebekah comes and she doesn't trust God. She deceives her husband. She disrespects her husband to the point of causing him to look foolish. She takes advantage of her husband's handicap, his disability. She caused her son to deceive his father. She taught her son how to be deceitful. She sinned against God and her husband and her other son Esau. And she taught her son Jacob to be deceitful. This haunts her. For see, Jacob is deceived later in life to a large degree. And Rebekah never sees her son on this side of the grave again. I see the sins of the brother. Jacob, he deceived his dad. He lied. I wrote down in Genesis chapter 27, five times I wrote in the side notes of my Bible here, lie, 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 lie. I am Esau, thy firstborn. That's not deceptive, that's just a flat out lie. I have done according as thou badest me. Another flat out lie. I pray thee sit and eat of my venison. Number one, it's not even venison. Number two, it's not his venison. Rebekah made it. And number three, he ain't Esau. Flat out lie. Jacob says, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now he's bringing God into the lie. In verse 24 he says, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And Jacob for the final time just blatantly looks at his dad and says, I am. Jacob, the deceiver. Jacob, the liar. And then there's Esau. Esau tried to buy with venison what he sold for porridge. Esau, 37 years earlier, married against his parents' wishes. If you look at chapter 26 and look at just 34 and 35, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri and the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. He was a rebel. He was going to do what he wanted to do, and he didn't care what his dad and mom thought about it. He was a rebel. He was tricked. But the blessing was never his to begin with. 77 years earlier, God made a declaration that that blessing would go to Jacob. He sold his birthright. That was his. But the blessing, that was Jacob's. Now Esau felt he had been wronged, and he said in his heart, now listen to this, this is what's interesting to me about this chapter and that certain verse. He said in his heart, there's nowhere here in Scripture that he makes an outward declaration of what he's going to do. He says in his heart, I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. The same sin of Cain. The action of an unregenerated man. Unfortunately, it's believed that Esau never got saved. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This is not the lack of love. Some people would like for you to believe that God chooses to love some and chooses to not love others. Anyone that believes a Calvinistic point of view, that God has chosen you over others, that God has chosen to love you, but He has not chosen to love them, that's a false doctrine in my personal opinion. I think it's wrong. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures think it's wrong too. Because the Bible clearly says, God, are you ready? God is love. How can you be anything else if you are that? God is love. And so the word here, when we find it in Romans, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, that is not a word of anti-love, that is a word of comparison love. I love my son Brandon. I love your sons too. But in comparison to my son and your sons, there's no comparison. The old adage, if two of them were out in the middle of the river drowning and you could only save one, would you save your son or somebody else's son? Everything being equal, you could only save one. There's no doubt about it. Every one of us would choose our own child. And rightfully so. That is whom God gave me to be responsible for. That is the son that I love. In comparison, it's a comparison love. You may say, well, that means you hate my son. No, 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 no. I do not love your children. But my children are very special to me. It's the same way with God. If you are a child of God, He loves you. It's a special love. He is your Father. He loves the world too. He loves all of those that are unsaved, all of those that are unregenerate. He wants them to be saved. He would desire for them to come in. He would desire to adopt them into the family of God. But they have chosen at this particular moment in time not to accept that free gift. Therefore, it's a comparison. I love Jacob. He was one of my children. Esau, in comparison, there's no comparison. Jacob, that's my son. Esau never was my son. And that is why most of us believe that Esau never became a believer. He certainly acted like an unregenerate man, going back to the sin of Cain. See, God does not love Esau. He is love. I mean, we can give you verses and verses for John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. For God so loved the... You know it's not a planet. You know how you know it's not a planet? Because in Revelation chapter 21, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. If He loved the old earth, that would have stayed there. He didn't die for the earth. He died for the people of the earth. So He loves. For God so loved the world. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus Christ laid His life down for the world. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for those that are believers only. He died for those that were sinners. And I just so happened to be one that was a sinner and am a believer. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He died for you too. He loves you. Why don't you let Him adopt you? Why don't you put your faith and trust in Him so He can be your Heavenly Father? The old adage, God is the Father of us all, is wrong. He is not. But God does love us all. But here Esau. But because Esau was not one of God's children and Jacob was, the comparison would be like the love of your child compared to the love of another. This, my friend, is the biggest tragedy of this whole chapter. Not Esau losing the blessing, but he lost his soul. But I find this passage of Scripture interesting for another reason at this particular state. The Bible says, and Esau said in his heart, and the very next verse it says, and these words of Esau, her elder son, was told to Rebekah. Who told Rebekah? God. For God's the only one that can hear the heart. You've heard me many a time say, in my invitation time, Lord, I've seen the hands, but you've seen the heart. Because some of you are raising your heart's hand saying, I need help, but I'm not going to let preacher know about it. But God sees the heart. Psalm 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. There's no place in Scripture that I find Esau telling his evil deeds. As a matter of fact, there's not a whole lot of time to have this gossip session take place. But I do believe that God said, Rebekah, tell Jacob. I'm not going to let Jacob die. Not like this. See, friend, there's a God in heaven that's in control of all circumstances and all situations. You may think that somebody's got the upper hand on you, but if you're a child of the King, He has got the upper hand on them. God is in control, and God makes sure that Rebekah knows the heart of Esau. Tonight, we see a chapter that probably every one of the participants wishes they could relive. But no one can relive today, let alone yesterday. But we can learn. Don't take matters into your own hands. Go to the Lord. Let Him fix the problem. Let Him fight for you. Seek the will of God. Don't lose your children over pride. Remember, our children are watching us. They're learning from us. And finally, application. Nothing is worth your child going to hell over. Nothing. Not even a blessing. There's nothing. While they're all fighting, a soul slips through the cracks. Abraham looks down, and sitting at his table is his son Isaac. Sitting beside Isaac's probably Rebekah. Sitting beside Rebekah's Jacob. But no Esau. The tragedy to me in this whole chapter is the soul of Esau. In heaven right now, there's no Esau. What about you? What is worth your children going to hell over? Your desires? Hey, Esau, we all know what God said back 77 years ago. Me and you, buddy. I'm going to watch out for you, friend. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you the blessing anyway. Go get me some venison. Rebecca, Jacob, Esau's out getting venison. Hurry up. Let's fool your dad. God was big enough to take care of the blessing without Isaac and Rebecca meddling. How about you this evening? Have you been taking matters into your own hands? Have you been going against the direct will of God? God has specifically said, here's how I want you to live your life. And you're like, you know what? That's really nice. And probably when I'm like 90, that's what I'll do. But right now, I'm enjoying life. I got some living to do. I don't need to be bound by all these regulation and rules that God has for me. I'll take matters into my own hands. I think there was a lot lost today in the life of Isaac and Rebecca and even Jacob. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways, this is where Isaac fell, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.